church for a great number of years. And too many times I think the scripture reading, they don't get it out enough when they get to comment of the scripture reading. Actually, this is what I based this sermon upon. This here, because of the fact the case, there's so much of that is going around that's not true. It's a sad situation. You see, he said in verse 8, "For by the grace of God, you are saved through faith." There's a lot of faith out there. Which one is he talking about? Well, since this is God's word, we're going to say that he is the one that says faith. What you believe has to be from God. So there's things there. There's some more things in that 8th verse there. The kindness of God, you see what I mean? Through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. He is presenting it to you and me without reservation. We can have it. We can hold it in our hands. And we can study it because of this scripture. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what the grace is. It's an unmerited favor that God gave to you and me so that we can study it, obey it, and receive the reward that comes from it. This is not of works, lest any man should boast. I have nothing like to boast about. Why? This is a gift of God. He gave the word to me. He gave it to you. What are you doing with it? Are you opening it up and studying it? Or are you letting it draw dust on the counter? End table, wherever. For we are his workmanship. What is he talking about, workmanship? God has a lot of power that we don't realize sometimes. What was he doing with in his works? He was creating you and me in Christ Jesus. How? Through faith and baptism and obedience. Those three has to go hand in hand. There is no other way to serve God other than that way. You see, we read a lot of times and say things and go on that is essentially true. Some of the things we say may not be written in God's word. I'll probably do the same thing before the night's over. But I've drawn a conclusion from the scriptures. You see, faith, where does it come from? From the scriptures. Romans 10 and verse 17. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how important it is to you and I, even a visitor. You won't find truth anywhere else. You won't find a God that is merciful anywhere else. And these things will come up more and more in detail as I go through the lesson. I've done a good part of my sermon, so I'm going to turn on back and go on from there. Galatians 3:27 says, lost condition when Paul wrote that letter. The Judaizing teachers had swayed them from the truth. And he was reminding them where they should be, where you and I should be, in Christ Jesus, walking in him daily, hour by hour, moment by moment. Don't put off your salvation for worldliness, occasional drink of strong liquor, or chasing somebody's other wife, or another man. Turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter. While you get there, I'll get me a drink of water. What? The word of truth to guide us, direct us in the way that we should walk. Verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man. Who is it? That minded man is Christ Jesus. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. You and me. Verse 6. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. That's exactly what I'm doing. That's what preachers need to do. That's what you need to be doing to your neighbors, to your friends. That's what I need to be doing too. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. The one Lord has just said there's one faith. He's also said there's just one baptism. Now, what do you think, he's going to accept anything from the world? I don't think so. I know he's not, according to the Bible. He has given us that verse to help us to understand that there's just one way from here. Turn to John, the 14th chapter. He's answering a question here from Thomas. And this is what he said. Jesus saith unto him, that's Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let's look at those a little bit. I am the way. Way to what? Way of truth. The way of life that you just met. And you can have that tonight. You're going to be a child of God. The life that he's going to give us in the after a while. He is the way, not only to salvation, but he's the only way to heaven. Do you realize that? There's no other way but his way. He says, I am the truth. How much more can we understand what truth is? God's word is truth, every word of it. He didn't come here to be a big wheel, so to speak. He come here to seek and to save you and me. And every person else that ever walked on this earth and will walk on it until the day he comes again. And the life. I'm going to say more about that a little bit later, because it's going to come up in verse, a couple of verses down through here. In fact, the case I think is following. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Bodily exercise, that verse 8, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. How much is godliness worth? You know, it's profitable in all things, in your job, in your home, in driving to and from work or to the doctor. You can ask God for his protection while you drive. I'm not saying you can't have an accident. You can. You get distracted. But he will help you along the way. If you will keep your mind on your driving and let him not just be the co-pilot, as it's so saying, but let him be the one that's turning the steering wheel in the right directions. Keep your eyes upon the road. Keep your eyes upon Jesus, for he is the way. Having a promise of life that now is. Did you realize that was in the scripture? Having a promise. From who? From God. If you're not in Christ Jesus, you're not going to make it to heaven. You're not going to live your life right if you're not in Christ Jesus and do what he tells you to do. You will add things in or subtract things out. And that's wrong. If you listen to this, and that which is to come, what? The next life. For there will be joy. That's why I had that song read, preached at some. I'm on my way to Canaan, fair land, where the soul never dies. Every one of us can be on that road, walking that pathway. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, or the 3rd chapter. This is the Apostle Paul still writing. Well, Paul said, for we are laborers with God. He's laid the responsibility upon you and I to sow the seed, to walk the pathway of righteousness, of godliness, where there is profitability in all things. We are God's husbandry, and you are God's building. What does those mean? Well, one of them means, the husbandry means cultivation. How did that come about? And you remember what Paul said, I planted and Apollos has watered. What had he done? He sowed the seed, that's cultivation. He planted it in your heart, in your mind. Titus did what? The building, the edification. It's been reaped in. You see this connection? Edification brings you into Christ. Because that's what you have, to be in Christ and to live Christ and to live godly. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. Drop down to verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth in the body forever. God's word is never going to perish. It's going to be here as long as there's man on the earth. It's going to be with you throughout eternity if you go to heaven. You see, Bible says the word of God as incorruptible seed. That is right. That's what we sow is the seed of God. The word of God is the seed. Here's some things I said about being born again. By the pure word of God. Being born again. Being created in Christ Jesus. How? By the word. Those things, brethren and sisters, and gentlemen, ladies, that you have visited, are solid thing that for you to hang on to. These will never change. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. He doesn't want you to be receiving doctrines and commandments of men. I don't care how little it's twisted, it's false when it's done. And you know that as well as I do. Because, turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. It says there in the 5th chapter, verse 6. Your glory is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? The unleavened bread that we eat, take of it on the Lord's table, don't have leaven in it. But you put a little leaven in it, it contaminated as far as God is concerned. You put in a little word in the Bible that is not there, it's contaminated. God won't receive it. A little leaven will make the whole lunch unacceptable to God. That's what's happening in a lot of places. I venture to say there's probably some places they're standing up and doing the same thing I'm doing, except they're not teaching the full truth. Let's just do a little reading here out of the Bible. Turn with me to Galatians, the second chapter, verse 1. Church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brothers, as it is meet, because your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of each and one of you all abound towards one another. I put the bound in there ahead of that, but I did it on purpose because it makes better sense to me. You see, God says later in that verse, you and the charity of every one of you toward each other abundantly, is what he's just saying. He's not willing to allow you and me to do something that we're not supposed to do. You know why? A lot of places might want to take recompense on those people, that's fact. But turn to Hebrews chapter 10. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. Who is vengeance belong to? Who is to do the recompense for any evil that we receive? It's not my job, it's not yours. God will take care of that in due time, his own way, and it will be just. You see, when he said again, the Lord will judge his people, what he said, I will make another recompense for you. That's what he was telling these people here. That was just broke open. By the way, where is this church? I know it's in Thessalonica, but where are they religiously wise? They're in our God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you like that to be on this church? Knowing that you are a part of it, brothers and sisters. knowing that you're on the way to that fair land where the soul never dies. Where all is peace and joy. No sighing, crying, or dying. God will recompense you, those of you who are. Let's continue reading verse 7 through verse 10. That's the one that I've got to get back to. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired of all them that believe our testimony among you who believe in that day. When they became Christians, when they obeyed the gospel, God's power unto salvation. Look at that verses in there, in that chapter 30. What did he say he was going to do to them that know not him? Well, he's going to cast them away where they cannot be in his presence. Taking vengeance upon them that know not God. How's that? That's not just the atheist. That's them that's not preaching the truth as well. They don't know God. They are trying to send people to heaven when they're not. They don't have the right ingredients to send them there. And that obey not the gospel. Isn't that what we preach and teach? Yes. God's word not only starts in Genesis, but it also runs through Revelation. And our soul salvation depends upon what I read from the scriptures. I purposely misread one there on purpose. I turned around and read it right. I did that to make a point. You can do that. And it doesn't violate the scripture when you go back and correct yourself. You see, I stood up here just a few minutes. And I have taught you and myself the word of God. Why? I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want you to be a castaway. I want everybody to come to the knowledge of the truth so they can be saved. Isn't that what it's all about? Amen. Remember. Please remember that God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ are the source of our salvation. By the word delivered unto us by the apostle. And it's written down for our convenience to read and to have one of the hardest things for me is that you get up here and you preach your heart out to people and it falls on deaf ears. I had better give up to what I preach. Well, I'm not going to make it. What about you? That's a question for each one. God has sent his plan in and proved it to us tonight. That he created us in what? In Christ Jesus. Through how? Through faith and baptism. Not just one, but both. How do you cleanse your soul from the sins that you have? Well, if you want a scripture, I can give you one. Romans 6 and verse 6. There is where you crucify the old man of sin. By baptism. The right baptism. The one that God will accept. Because it comes from the pure word. Not from the adulterated word. The word that is truth. The word that has power. Not God's word. Not mine. I've done my job. I preached a suggestion for us. God has asked you to do some things to remember him and his brother. He said, come on to me, I will give you that labor and that heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your soul. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Romans 3:26 says, all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes me. And you. We must remove that. Why? Well, we can't be saved without it. We must remove that sin by obedience to the word of God. We must unbridle ourselves when we're not creating words that are not worthy of being spoken. By you or me. What is worthy to be spoken by you or me? Is the true word of God. For it will convict the gainsayer. It will convict your neighbor and mine. I had invited the man, but he didn't like it. He had other things to do. You can only try. As the old saying is, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You can lead a man toward Christ, but you can't make him obey it. That's not your job anyway. Your job is to preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove and rebuke with all long suffering. That's my job. That's yours. If you're a Christian, if you're outside of Christ, there's been a song selected for you to come forward and make yourself known to us and accept God on his terms for your salvation. You can join soul will never die. We live with God throughout eternity. We're all peace and joy. Is that? But after this world is burned out. I don't know when. It may be another 1,000, 10,000 years. I don't know. I don't know anybody knows except one. It's not the Bible. Jesus doesn't even know. Unless he's told him after he got in heaven, told him not to be here. But I don't think he did that. So that would be untrue, unfaithful on God's part. There's no one. But there's one thing that's written in the Bible. Today is the day of your salvation. You can be baptized into Christ and walk in him daily, hourly, day by day, month by month, year by year. And as you get, like my age, closer to the end of your life, you begin to see what people need.